voices raising to the eternal three in one. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Lord God, this is our desire today to come and worship you. We've been blessed with that in the previous part of the service, but now you come to us in your word. May we, like Simeon, fix our eyes on Jesus and be filled with the joy of cradling him in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The word of God for our focus is from Luke chapter 2, the appointed gospel lesson for this special Sunday, where we read this about Simeon. He took him, Jesus, in his arms and blessed God. This is God's word. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is our theme for the year? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This is the verse, and it's from our theme is 2020 Vision. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's done it all for us. What a blessing. Well, grace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Say you run into an old friend, maybe a high school classmate you haven't seen for decades. What's one of the things you might say? You're a sight for sore eyes. Now, if anyone ever had the opportunity or just the right moment to say that, that was Simeon in our gospel lesson for today. Because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So on this day, Jesus became for Simeon a sight for his sore eyes. Now this is recorded in Luke chapter 2, which is the same place where we read about the birth of Jesus and the shepherds. This actually takes place before the wise men come. It happens precisely 40 days after the birth of Jesus. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, which was 40 days after the baby was born, mom would have to go to the temple and be purified. They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Sort of like Samuel in the Old Testament lesson. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. And there we see the picture. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we just started looking at the feasts and festivals of the church year, things that sometimes we skip. However, this one today, the purification and the presentation of our Lord, purification of Mary, the presentation of our Lord, takes place on February 2nd, 40 days after Christmas, just like the text was telling us. And what we're seeing here is a day that's set aside to celebrate this special event. And what the church has decided to do is every time those kind of special feasts fall on a Sunday, we will follow lessons for that day and focus on that. Normally, this would be the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, but instead, we're looking at this special lesson. So, since February 2nd is today, the readings are from Luke 2, and we have the story of the man with sore eyes, Simeon, who spent the latter part of his life waiting to fix his eyes on Jesus. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The consolation, the fulfillment of what God had promised ever since Eden to his people. That he would send the descendant of Eve who would crush the head of the descendant of Satan. And throughout the Old Testament, those prophecies were expanded upon. That beautiful promise, that beautiful prophecy was expanded upon over and over again. To the point where Simeon has spent a lifetime looking for the promised one. A life staying close to the Lord. A life of repentance for all the mistakes of his sin-filled life. A life of praising God for his daily mercy and grace. Simeon's life was spent, like all true believers of the Old Testament, relying on God's promise to send a Messiah, the promised one, the Christ. But there's one notable difference for Simeon. It's been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, before he was able to fix his eyes on Jesus. So he spent his days waiting for Jesus. Perhaps he went to the temple every single day thinking, this could be the day that I get to see the Messiah. And then it happened. Moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the same one who said, this is your promise, this is going to happen. We don't have any idea how the Holy Spirit got that message to Simeon, but he got it. That's the point. But now the Holy Spirit said, get over there. This is the day. He went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law, so that they came to obey the law, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God and said, shall we read those words together? Actually, they're not right there. They're here. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He's looking at Jesus. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Notice something special here. This is at the very beginning of Jesus' life on this earth. 40 days in, we already see the promise being expanded that he came for the Gentiles, the non-believers. That includes you and me, and not just for the Jewish people. These words of Simeon, in Latin they're called the Nunc Dimittis, let us depart, are a perfect prayer. A prayer to be taken to heaven. And by the way, there's no more perfect prayer. Some people get upset when a loved one says, I just want to get home to heaven. And that's understandable. We want to keep our loved ones here. But there's no greater desire than to be in heaven with the Lord. I mean, that's the ultimate. A perfect prayer for the end of a believer's faithful life. This prayer is Simeon's praise to God for God's faithfulness to him. Again, in his arms he's holding Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. Can you just imagine how that was for him? Let that sink in. And now, after holding Jesus, seeing God's promise in the flesh, he is ready to go home. He's ready for his transition from this life to the next. Now, we don't know much about Simeon's life, except that he was faithful. A life spent entirely following God and trusting God's promise. Perfect? No. A sinner who needed Jesus? Yes. But contrast Simeon's God-centered life with the much more common self-centered existence of many around us today, a tendency we all have. The greatest fictional example of a self-centered life is, who do you think? Ebenezer Scrooge. He had a humbug life. Spent living for himself, focusing on wealth and power and self-centeredness in the extreme. However, that would change dramatically. We know the story, right? He experienced a dramatic U-turn, a radical change, and things were never the same. Remember that Christmas Eve, he had those ghostly visitors, and he is changed, and he no longer sees Christmas as an excuse to pick a man's pocket every 24th of December. He has changed. He woke up with a joy and love that he absolutely could not contain. It bubbled over. What does he get, Bob's Cratchit family? What does he get the family? The biggest turkey you could find. Those guys that came asking for a donation for some charitable cause. He sees them, gives them something, and knocks them off their feet. And then he surprises his nephew with a visit. Scrooge is a pretty good example of how God can change people. Of course, the best biblical example is Saul becoming Paul, and maybe the next best one is you and me becoming followers of Jesus, heirs of eternal life. Now, while Simeon is an excellent example of how God blesses those who look to Jesus, he's also an example for us to fix our eyes on Jesus like he did. Now, we all know how A Christmas Carol ends. Maybe you start reading the book or watching the movie. You just can't wait to see good old Scrooge change. Maybe your eyes are looking for this. It'll be a sight for sore eyes when you see the big smile on the guy that was once so grouchy and turned in on himself. But you know, he goes on. Remember, he says, I'm going to honor Christmas in my heart, try to keep it all year. I'll live in the past, the present, the future, all those good things. Scrooge was making a commitment to make this a permanent change. But have you ever noticed how we are with our changes? Anybody still keeping up with the commitments you made a little over a month ago? You are? Good, good. I saw someone nodding their head. Very good. Anybody else? I saw heads like this. So one, very good. You get the prize. We'll give you a gold star after church. How do we keep things from going back to normal? By keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and on the main thing. Lord Jesus, help me to always remember what you did for me. We're back to the cross, remembering how Jesus made us his. We've been redeemed, bought back from sin, death, and the devil. Not with gold or silver, as the catechism says, but with his holy precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. It may be his own. Well, the problem is most people want to ignore their past, make light of their sins, make excuses for their failures and moral maladies. But we realize that Jesus is the only sight we need for our sinful and sore eyes. We get to. Look at this. We get to admit our mistakes, our sins, our need to be clean. That is a privilege, a blessing. We get to admit that we need Jesus as our Redeemer. Like Simeon, we get to be waiting for the consolation, the fulfillment, not just of Old Testament Israel, but of the of God's church, of all people. We get to repent of our sins, being sorry enough to change. As a faithful Old Testament believer, Simeon knew the truth about himself and about God. He believed Psalm 51, where David said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, cleanse me, restore me, transform me. He goes on, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. And then, we translate this for us, these words today, because of the light of the cross. Create in me a pure heart, O God, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now, I teased a couple ladies at the beginning of this before the service, and here's the reason we smile. It's a good thing. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. We can smile. We can be the most joy-filled people on the face of this earth because God has done it all for us in Jesus. Simeon was believing in the promise that God would do all for us. Let's go back to him. How his heart must have leapt as he cradled the Christ child in his arms. He must have been overwhelmed with how faithful God had been to him. Old Simeon must have been filled with a sense of awe, wonder, and thanksgiving when his sore eyes finally saw his Savior and his Lord. How about you? Do you stop to think of how faithful God has been and is to you? Do you feel a sense of awe and wonder and thanksgiving when you receive the assurance of your salvation every time your sins are publicly forgiven? Do you thank God for this undeserved gift? When you cradle the Lord in your heart at the communion table, are you overwhelmed with that sense of awe and wonder and thanksgiving? Like Simeon, is Jesus a sight for your sore eyes too? Does it show? Now our theme is Vision 2020. His vision, our focus. Again, it's all on Jesus. I'm going to share a touching story with you of how that vision was a blessing to a young believer. Her name was Sarah. She was in Sunday school class, and the teacher asked a question. She wanted them to find out how they could be useful and do something to serve the Lord. There was a silence, and then Sarah said, "Teacher, what can I do? I don't know how to do many useful things." Teacher thought for a moment and said, "Sarah, you can bring in a flower and put it in a vase. That would be a useful thing." She frowned, "But that's not important." "It is," her teacher said. "If you're brightening someone's day for Jesus." The next Sunday, that little girl brought a dandelion, put it in a jar in the classroom. Every Sunday, she'd bring a brand new dandelion. And the teacher was so happy, she told the pastor. The pastor was so impressed that she was doing this for her Jesus, he put that jar next to the pulpit. And every Sunday, there was a fresh new dandelion in that jar. It must not have been in February in Wisconsin, that's for sure. Maybe she harvested a whole bunch and kept, I don't know. Anyway, the pastor talked about it. How wonderful it was that Sarah was using her gifts for the Lord, what she could do to brighten the day of those around her. But then Sarah became ill, deathly ill. There was nothing they could do for her. And it was getting close to the end, and it was so sad. But that last Sunday, she came to church and walked up in front and put a dandelion and a note in the jar next to the pulpit. A few days later, the Lord said, "Come home, Sarah." At her funeral, the pastor read the note that Sarah put next to her flower. "Dear God, thank you for Jesus, my Savior. Thank you for promising to take me home to heaven. And thank you for the honor of serving you with my flowers. See you soon. Love, Sarah." Her life was short, but she had learned to fix her eyes on Jesus. She was trusting in Jesus for forgiveness in heaven. Like Simeon, she was saying, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." But her version was, "See you soon." Do you believe that a person can be that confident that they are going to heaven to be able to say the words of Simeon from the heart? Maybe you don't know who Christ really is. You've heard about him, you have ideas, but you haven't really seen him as your personal Lord and Savior or your friend. The believers around you this morning want you to know that we believe it is 100% true. Yes, we do. My eyes, our eyes, have seen the Lord's salvation. Or maybe you're dealing with some problems and life is kind of overwhelming. You just can't see how it all is going to work out and turn out okay. The believers around you this morning want you to know that we believe that Jesus can lead you through whatever challenges you are facing. My eyes, our eyes, have seen his salvation. There we go. Or maybe you just feel a sense of loneliness this morning, and you're searching for something that will bring fulfillment to your life. Maybe you know that you're not living the life God wants you to live. Believers around you this morning want you to know that we believe that Jesus is with you to show you the way and fill you with a godly purpose. My eyes, our eyes, have seen the Lord's salvation. Or maybe you feel disconnected. Maybe you're searching for a place to call home, a place where you can be surrounded by the love of Christ, a place where you can fit into the family of faith. The believers around you this morning want you to know that we welcome you to join us at the foot of the cross of our Lord to receive forgiveness, peace, purpose, and power for life today as we look forward to the day when we too can depart in peace. Simeon's words and Sarah's version revealed the deep trust in God's promise that the best is yet to come. I have the privilege of witnessing this kind of confidence many times during my years of ministry. There's one that stands out in my memory. Roy was dying. He had been a lifelong follower of his Jesus. I went to his apartment to visit with him and his wife, to share God's word of comfort with them. Comfort that God offers freely to all and any who repent and believe. Roy and Arlene received the body and blood of Jesus in Holy Communion. And not more than 15 minutes later, Roy was home in heaven. Just like that. Simeon's words were so perfect for Roy, and they're perfect for you and me too in God's perfect time. Let's read them together. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. Yes, God's perfect timing is absolutely that. We can trust him completely. We don't know when these words will be actualized for us, when we will be departing to be with the Lord, but we know that it is true. So whether we use Simeon's words, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, or Sarah's, see you soon, we can be filled with peace and comfort as we look at the future. And until then, we get to bring those dandelions for the Lord. We get to live for him. Let his love shine through us. Do all that we can to share with other people so they too can have the confidence of Simeon and Sarah. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me too. In Jesus' precious, saving, and comforting name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Please stand. We join in our final prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me, and may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Amen.